This is the Physical Activity Researcher Podcast, a podcast for researchers of sedentary behavior, physical activity, and sports. Join for a relaxed dialogue about research design, practicalities, and, well, anything related to research. Learn from your fellow researchers useful and relevant information that does not fit into formal content and limited space of scientific publications. And here is your host, researcher and entrepreneur, Ollie Tikkanen.
Welcome, everyone. So in this episode, I wanted to continue on the theme of heart rate variability and covering how heart rate variability can be used in sports science and especially in athletic training and top sport. And I have created a kind of basic episode of heart rate variability. So if you are not familiar with heart rate variability and its basics, it might be good to check that episode first. And just to let you know, this episode is based on the article we wrote on our website. So there's also a video version where I'm browsing the article at the same time. So if you prefer that kind of version, you can see this one in YouTube by searching with the title of this episode. And if you're interested on the heart rate variability articles, you can go to web.fibion.com. You can click articles and there you will find HRV collection. And we have a lot of articles on HRV topics. So if you're interested, I would encourage you to check out those. And let's get into the topic. So we will be covering the science behind HRV in sports training, looking into implementing HRV in training regimens, and also looking at HRV and recovery. So especially recovery during the night, which is a very good indicator and ease to measure during the night. We will be looking a little bit on the challenges applying HRV in sports. The signal is affected by many physiological and psychological things, so we need to know those to be when using it in sport applications, and then we will go the take-home messages in the end. So when we are using HRV, I think the important point is that the athletes and coaches can make informed, data-driven decisions, personalized training, and rest periods for peak performance. And you shouldn't be using HRV alone, but it should be supporting the feelings of athlete, the knowledge of the coach. But when we combine it, it usually helps to make the decision that, for example, now it's better to rest than do the hard training. Maybe the athlete is feeling a little bit, but athletes usually want to push. But if the HRV data is clearly showing that the body is not in optimal state, not in the recovered state, we can use HRV to support this decision making. And like said, by monitoring the fluctuation in HRV, athletes can identify when their bodies are primed for intense training and when they are requiring more rest. So it's very important if we think athletic training, especially in kind of sports where the skill is not the important factor, but it's more about, for example, aerobic fitness or aerobic performance. The one of the most important things is to optimize the training, and especially knowing when to do the intensive workouts. So those will be improving the performance the most, but also they are the most precarious. If you do too much of them, especially for longer durations, you are training too hard and the results will not be good. So the importance of HRV can be very big if you are using it correctly. So with the HRV guided training, you can enhance training efficacy. You can probably reduce injury risk, as if you are training, pushing too hard, you are increasing injury risk. And also if you are not recovering enough, your cognition is not at the best state and you can make mistakes. And also you can make mistakes, for example, in the activation patterns of hamstrings. There is some studies showing that, for example, if you are, so it can be, for example, in for hamstring injury, which is quite common in sports that require sprinting, it might be that you are activating the hamstrings in a time when it should be relaxing, when it's stretching, and this can lead to injury. And if we are not recovered also mentally, we might make easier this kind of mistakes in the activation pattern. So it's, there can be many ways how optimizing recovery can reduce injury risk, not only the from the physiological point of view. And if we look a little bit in the science behind HRV and sports training, as we have discussed in the earlier episode about HRV, the HRV serves as an indicator of the autonomic nervous system balance between the sympathetic and parasympathetic nervous system. And this is very important. We all know that when we are doing training, the sympathetic part takes over, is highly activated. But right away, when we are finishing the training, we should get parasympathetic activation that we start recovering. And some athletes are using, for example, breathing exercises right after training to indicate for the body that there is no fight or flight anymore. Now it's time to recover. I'm not sure if there are good studies on this one, but I think it makes sense, especially in a more intensive sports. I, for example, do martial arts. So if you have a sparring, you are very, very in a tense state, or the sympathetic activity is very high. So I think, for example, with the breathing meditation practices, it's good to show for the body that now it's time for recovery. And glad to hear your comments on this if you are using it yourself or with your athletes. And if we look about implementing HRV in training regimens, it's important that we need to measure HRV over a longer period of time. It's good if we can get the baseline of the HRV patterns, because individuals are very different. You cannot compare athlete A to athlete B and make conclusions. You need to be comparing the baseline and the changes within the athlete. So you need to kind of get touch on it. The athlete needs to get touch on it, kind of that, how does it link to my performance? So it's important to be measuring trends over time. And one good way is that when often athletes are having a period of non-training after the main competition, they might take a few weeks to a month of much lower intensity in training, or even fully recovering, or if they have some injury, you can measure the baseline of HRV. And then you know that what is the level of HRV when the body is rested. So that is important to do if just possible. And then we need to be doing different kind of trainings like we do, and then looking at when do we actually see what is kind of the threshold, for example, that now we need to be resting and not doing the intensive workout. And this is as much art as science in a way, to finding the individual thresholds when to do certain things. And this is, you need to be well aware of the heart rate variability, well aware of its limitations, what affects it, and the coach's knowledge on this. And you need to be testing it and adapting based on the findings and experiences from these testings. And as I was mentioning, that it's important to measure trends over time, and for athletes to be measuring HRV basically all the time, it might be challenging. And measuring it during the night is good, because sleep is pretty controlled environment. We are meant to be just laying down and being asleep. So it's a very controlled environment, and the main part of the recovery of the athlete should be happening during the night. So measuring the heart rate variability during the night is a good way, because you get a controlled environment, you get the recovery during the night. And with certain devices, it's very important to measure. So I can show the Vibion Emfit just quickly. It's a bed sensor that goes under the mattress, and it's based on ballistocardiography. So the body starts to sway a tiny bit in the rhythm of the heart, and this can be used to measure the heart rate variability. It is validated against ECG, so it actually really works. And basically, athletes need to do nothing to do the measurement. It's plugged in the electricity, so there's no charging. You don't need to start. Just you go on the bed, and it will detect it, and it will be measuring the heart rate variability. So very easy method for long-term HRV measurements. And you need the data from over time. And if it's challenging to measure, you will probably not get the data if it's too much work. And the sleep time recovery is important, but also the daytime recovery is important. And HRV can also shed light on the lifestyle factors affecting recovery, including sleep quality, but also resting during the day, stress management, and nutrition. And if we think top-level athletes, there is often a lot of traveling, there is a lot of PR, there are a lot of tasks that need to be done. So these, with HRV, you can get indication how stressful these are. And often the problem is that when you start to be more successful, you get more PR, you get more interviews, you need to do more. And this can influence the recovery. So HRV measurements during daytime is good to be measuring the stress during daily life, and then you can use it to try to maximize the recovery during the daytime. And then if we go overcoming challenges in applying HRV in sports. So there are certain challenges of measurements. And like said, the individual variability in HRV necessitates a personalized approach to data interpretation. So athletes must understand their normal HRV range, which may differ significantly from their peers, requiring customized analysis and application. But also, in addition to this, external factors like altitude, temperature, hydration levels can also impact HRV readings. Although we can think that altitude is an additional stressor for the athlete. So if you go to higher altitude and the HRV numbers are not looking good, you probably need to take the training easier anyway. If the temperature is challenging, for example, it's a very hot environment, it is an extra stressor for the body, and you probably need to take that into account. So in a way, altitude and temperature are good that they affect, because we need to know those to optimize the training. And also hydration levels, it's important that the athletes would be hydrated. But of course, this is a little bit different. You need to, if it's HRV looks very different, you need to make sure that the athlete would be well hydrated. And also, if we think different nutrients, different compounds that we consume, probably caffeine is one of the things. It is changing the sympathetic activity. But also that is a stressor, and you can use it to your advantage to be able to perform better in the training, but it might take a little bit away from the recovery, as the sympathetic nervous system is more activated. So being mindful of caffeine consumption is a good idea, and very importantly, important to optimize the sleep. a lot of people are not aware. They might be saying that they are not sleeping very well, and then they are eating late in the evening, for example, coffee. It will affect the sleep. And a good recommendation is that you shouldn't be drinking caffeine after 2 p.m. because the half-life is quite short. And it's good to know that there are basically three types of people, and there are fast metabolizing persons who can metabolize caffeine pretty quickly. There are slow ones, and there are the mid ones. And basically, you will figure out this. Often people know that if the slow ones know that they are slow ones. If they drink coffee a little bit too late in the day, they probably have problems falling asleep, or they cannot even fall asleep early enough. So usually the people who are slow know it. And the people who are fast, they might be saying that, yeah, I can drink coffee. So it's good to know this, because then maybe the fast metabolizing persons can use a little bit more caffeine to get optimal performance during the training workouts, because it's not as easily affecting negatively their recovery, especially during sleep. But the slow ones, I think they should be very careful to optimize rather for the sleep quality than the training performance. But especially in the morning workouts, you can still use caffeine pretty well to get the better performance from the training session. And if we look a little bit in the future of HRV in sports sciences and athletic training, I think the main point will be to get longitudinal data. So more data we can get and more sophisticated analysis we can do on it, especially if we combine it to different metrics. So for example, one good way of could be that you are getting the autonomic nervous system balance, the recovery state from HRV, but you could also, for example, get the neuromuscular performance. And I think you could do, for example, simple counter movement jump on a mat before the training session, after the warm-up, and you could get what is the status of neuromuscular system. We know that, for example, for power athletes, it's more about balancing the neuromuscular system rather than the aerobic, parasympathetic, sympathetic system. So you could be using those two metrics to gauge that what is the status of these kind of two systems in the body, which are important for the performance. And yeah, measuring, getting a longitudinal data from the nighttime, but also when we get better wearables, that we could get longitudinal data from the daytime, that we can use it for optimizing the training, and that we can start recovering as fast as possible after the training. I think the future things are there. And of course, the improving analytic methods with help of AI and machine learning will probably influence this. So that's it for this episode. Glad to hear your comments, feedback on this kind of episode that I'm making now. And I'm making these because I have had a little bit challenges with my own schedule, but also getting guests, not to book the recordings, but actually to get the guests to come to the recording, as quite often now people have been announcing one day before that, oh, I'm sorry, I'm sick, I cannot make it tomorrow, or my kids are sick, I cannot make it. So I started doing more of these solo episodes that I can actually get new episodes. So would be great to hear your opinions on any of the challenges, because when you're doing podcast, you don't really get feedback. You just see that some amount of people have listened it yesterday, but that's it. So would love to hear any feedback on this topic. But that's it for this episode. Thanks for listening and have a brilliant day.
Thanks for joining us this week on Physical Activity Researcher Podcast. If you like the show, make sure you never miss an episode by subscribing or following the show on Twitter. This podcast is made possible by listeners like you. Thank you for your support. If you found value in the show, we would really appreciate a rating on Apple Podcasts or whichever app you're using. Or if you would, in a real old school way, simply tell a friend about the show. It would be a great help for us. We have a fantastic lineup of guests for forthcoming episodes, so be sure to tune in. Thank you all for your support and have a great day.